listening to the Savvy Women Podcast, the podcast of savvy women who want to upskill themselves and lead a richer life. Hosted by Susan Hayes, the Positive Economist.
Well, Helena, it is my pleasure to welcome you to the show today. It has been quite a while since I met you for the first time. And when I did, you had a phone in your hand and you were tweeting. And of course, you're the same today, but now in a different context. So I have known you as busy beaters, busy tweeters, we're all business, the woman herself. So could you take our listeners through the life and times of Helena Gilhooly so that they can get to know you a little bit too?
I will indeed. Hello, and thank you very much for inviting me onto the show.
You're more than welcome, and I've been waiting a while to do so. So it's great that we get a chance on this occasion.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, as I say, I'm delighted to be here. I am Helena Gilhooly. I started off as Busy Beaters with the handmade jewellery part of my retail business. And through doing retail, online retail, I learned an awful lot of social media skills. And a lot of people came to me looking for help. Helena, how do I post this? How do I add a link? How do I add an image? So with the help of some encouragement from some very good friends, I set up another part to me, which is Busy Tweeters. And that's taken on a life of its own. I wasn't expecting it to, but it did. And it's starting to grow now. And even with the lockdown, it's starting to slowly grow back up again. Kind of slid for a little bit naturally, but I'm getting a lot of inquiries now for later on in the year. And what I do is I help people in normal circumstances. If you take out the COVID-19 situation, people that have a day job but don't have time for social media, I help them be a presence online.
And would you say then, Helena, that your target market are individuals, or is it that you more so work with, say, or companies or organizations or networks? Who would I be if I was that person where I thought, oh, geez, this woman is exactly who I need?
9 out of 10 of my clients would be sole traders. Okay. People that just don't have time to do their social media and do whatever it is they're trying to promote. So if it was somebody like a lady I do business with is actually another jewelry person, and she doesn't have time to do her social media. She doesn't probably know everything to do on it either. So while she's doing all her selling and doing what she does in her business, I am her social media presence online.
Okay, now I've spotted a problem, and I'm sure our listeners have as well, which is you have gone to a competitor and you are helping her promote her business to compete against your other business.
The difference is my business is handmade, hers is ready-made.
Okay, so it sounds to me so that you're getting the number one rule of business right, which is know your USP or your unique selling point. Okay. Yeah. So how did that transition actually happen? So how did it go from, okay, I'm actually quite good at this? You mentioned there are people who ask you, how do I do this? How do I do that? So was it just one moment, or was it one customer, or what was the actual transition? What was the aha moment that led you to say, actually, busy tweeters could be a thing?
Well, it was, I think around 2018, late 2018. And like what you said, when I go to an event, I usually have a phone in my hand and I'm there tweeting, and I'm trying to help that event get trending as a rule. And a lot of people had said to me, Helena, would you not do this as a business? And I was like, well, I already have a business. I have the jewelry business. And they were saying, but like, you're quite good at what you do on Twitter, this event was. And it was a few, after going to a few events and people saying the same thing, you know, the penny kind of dawns on you that maybe I can do something else as well as what I do to combine the two of them. And it wasn't just one single aha moment. It was going to a few events and leading up to that. A lot of friends encouraged me, you know, go for it and see what happens. You know, put yourself out there. So this is what I done. I set up then Busy Tweeters. As I said, it was around late 2018 to see how I kept it very quiet because I didn't, you know, you're like that. You're afraid to take the leap into it. And then in 2019, it was like the beast was awoken, and it was like, nope, that's it, we're coming out of this and we're going to go hell for leather by going for it.
Isn't that brilliant? That's great. Well, I think myself that if you simply as a business, even as an aspiring business, listen to what people say to you as, you're very good at that, or would you not do that and charge for it, or had you not considered, if you simply listen to what the market tells you, it can be a very, very instructive way to move forward. And I, on that note, I think there's a lot of people that you and I would respectively know that engage with social media. Personally, I love Twitter. I love LinkedIn. I am on a range of different Facebook pages for the different brands. I am I'm very new to Instagram because it's more visual than a lot of what I would do. But all the same, I'm across those. We've had a newsletter now for a long time. We've had over 40 podcasts. So there's been quite a lot that we have done over the years. Now, by any means, I'm not saying that we're right up there in terms of the best that we could do or a thing like that. But what I am saying is that there's some people out there who are wondering where to start. Should I bother with Twitter? Should I start a Facebook page? Am I late to the Instagram party? So can I just ask you, why have you engaged with social media? When we go back to Busy Beaters, why is it that you engage social media at all? So that you might answer the question that silently those people are having now about, is it really worth it?
Okay, well, first thing to look at is to look where your customer is. Where are you going to be doing most of your selling? Is it going to be Facebook? Then learn a bit more about Facebook. Post a bit more about Facebook. You will have a crossover of platforms from Facebook to Twitter to Instagram. Personally, as you know, I love Twitter. I'm a big fan of Twitter. But I also love Facebook. Instagram, I love, but like you say, it's a very visual, it's a very photogenic place to be. Is your product very photogenic? Then that's the way to be. I would advise people to check into their insights to see, is it male, female following? Is it what time of the day people are on looking them up? You know, what age group are you looking at? You will find all your insights as to which is the best platform to be on by looking at your insights.
Now, let's delve into that a little bit more, because I think some people might be listening and say, do you mean broadly speaking, or is there a button that they should press? And I know that it's a button that they should press, but could you just give people some insight into the insights, I suppose, in that what is the value of doing that? And more so, do you find that a lot of people don't look into their insights, and what are they missing out on?
Lots of people don't look into their insights. They look to see how many likes they get or how many comments they get, which is one gauge, but it's not the overall gauge. You need to look at everything to take a big picture. Like, I know most of my audience, personally, if I go to the jewellery page, it is women between 25 and 55. Nine times out of 10, the majority are on after 9 o'clock at night. And they will buy, my best night for buying is Thursday night and Sunday night, because I'll get more messages them nights. I'm only able to tell all that by looking at the insights. Yes, there is buttons you have to press, but if you're on, it's easier to do it on your laptop than it is to do on your mobile phone. You go into what they call a back end of your Facebook page or your Twitter or your Instagram, and you look for your insights. And that will tell you, on Twitter, it's analytics. It'll tell you how many people your tweets have reached. It'll tell you what time of the day. It'll tell you what engagement rate was, so that you know that if you put out a post about a product, you know which product done better than another product.
Well, you know, I also think that we can be very surprised. I've done that when I've gone into my Twitter analytics, and I've been very surprised at how far a tweet has reached, or how many engagements that it's had, and so on. Because the easiest thing is to look at what jumps out at you, which is maybe retweets and likes when it comes to Twitter, or likes and shares and views and so on when it comes to Facebook. But could you bring us up a level, Helena, and just tell us, what is a good overall social media plan? So should I be on Twitter, Facebook? Should I be on, like, should I be producing a podcast? Should I be doing this? What if people are wondering now, oh my God, is this far too much to start with? Let's take an overall bird's eye look at this and just tell me, what do you think a good social media plan really consists of?
What I would tell people is, first of all, find out where your customer is. There is, like, one simple example was, when I first started making jewellery, I started making everything in purple colour. And my niece pointed out to me, not everybody likes purple. So not everybody likes Facebook, not everybody likes Twitter, not everybody likes Instagram. Find out where your customers are. See where most of your activity is, again, through your insights. Then you know that you can focus. If you compare the three of them, you have more people on Instagram. Put more posts up on Instagram. Focus a little bit more on that. I would say, personally, have a toe in each of the platforms, but concentrate on the one where your sales are coming through. So if you're on Instagram and you're putting up a post or a photograph of a beautiful art that you're doing or whatever it may be, make sure you have your link clear to how they can buy it. And then you can put that out on the other platforms that aren't working so well, but always make sure there's a link of how they can buy. Your main one should be where your selling is, and then the other ones should be supporting that.
Well, one of the things that is really topical at the moment is online selling or e-commerce. And there are, of course, trading online vouchers now available for anybody who's listening about this in Ireland. But also, separately to that, there is a huge amount of training online of various different descriptions about e-commerce. Could I ask you about that? What has been your experience of e-commerce as opposed to if you had set up Busy Beaters, I'm going to say 30 years ago, you would have had either a stall, let's say at a farmer's market, or you might have had a shop, or you might have had something else. Whereas now, of course, you don't need bricks or mortars, but you do need clicks instead. So what has been your experience of e-commerce? And also, Helena, I heard a disturbing statistic a little while ago, and that is that 70% of all the money that we spend online in Ireland goes outside of the country. We're actually a digital importer by virtue of our e-commerce infrastructure here in the country. So what has been your experience of e-commerce, and what do you say to people who may want to dip their toe in that area?
E-commerce is very good. If you have products, it is very good. I would highly recommend going for the trading online voucher. What you're saying about the online, I'm admin on a page called Green Touristing, and it was set up to try and combat Black Friday.
Oh.
And yes, in November of every year, we do it yearly, constantly every day, but leading up to November every year, we promote Green Tourist Day to try and get people to buy Irish, to try and keep it in Ireland. They will naturally go to where they think they're going to get a better bargain, but a lot of them don't realise that they are often hit by hidden taxes. Okay. So, like that when, and that only comes when the product comes at the door. So, you know, all intents and purposes, people buy Irish if they can, especially now they're going to be needed more so than ever. It is a big fight and battle, but I think, you know, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, COVID-19 has made people realise, you know, Irish businesses need their support. Irish people need to support the Irish businesses to keep them all going, to keep them all afloat, because we will come out of this and we will come out better from this because people will have learned what worked and what didn't work. So they'll know better how to promote their business going forward.
Well, I'd agree with an awful lot of what you said there. And also, I didn't know of Green Thursday. And thank you for updating me about that, because I certainly will support it. And it's something that I think people feel a real glow about buying local or buying from small businesses, etc. So actually getting information about what you've mentioned there, like Green Thursday, is a great idea. And on the whole point of e-commerce, though, I think some people may feel a bit of a block that is it not really expensive to get set up and to get going online. Then you've got the issues around data and encrypting of data and all that sort of thing. So that therefore they would just rather if people technically, I suppose, clicked and collected and then gave them the money that they could collect on their own. How would you react to that? What do you think of people who would shy away from getting a credit card link of any description on their website so because of what they might fear?
If at all possible, go with, you know, we there's many free ways to get up online at the moment that are from here that you can do through Irish websites. There's many great web developers that, you know, they'll keep it all fairly Irish for you. I would suggest, you know, staying as near to your land as you can, because a lot of people that do these quick free sites, they're normally based in America and they don't realize that. So that means if there's any problems, there's time delays. There's, you know, like it could be 5-6 hours of getting support, technical support if they're looking for it. They do need to start looking better at how they can get online and keeping it as Irish as they possibly can. It is hard. There's no saying that it's not hard, but it can be done. You a little bit of research into your web developers, into your, like, using Irish people like Stripe, using them on your website rather than going elsewhere to keep it that you're here in this country, like, and finding the right supports, finding good networks that will help you stay Irish. And I'm not just promoting the being Irish, but it'll help you keep it more local to you.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean. And I wanted to actually go on to that point about support, because I have found, of course, that Twitter for me has not just been a place where I have been able to sell the products and services of Hayes Cullerton, but also it's a place that can really help promote different events, like you've mentioned there as well. It's a place that's full of information, and I find that my breaking news typically comes from there as well. Or if I want to find out if something is really true or whatever, I'll take a look at what's going on there. But the other thing, of course, Selena, is that it can be incredibly supportive. Now, it can be vitriolic as well, of course. Yeah. I have been trolled and I've been all sorts as well, but in the main, my experience of Twitter has been a very supportive place because of my interactions with people, I suppose, who I follow and who follow me, etc. What has been your experience of the supportive environment of social media?
Well, I absolutely love Twitter. I mean, that's my home. I'm a big believer in community over competition. I'm admin on several groups, network groups for support. There will be the We're All Business, which has over nearly 22,000 followers. The Mead Biz Era, I'm admin on this as well. This is a new growing one as well. Bite the Biscuit is another great community for artists. Green Tourist Day is another great one that I, as I said, I'm an admin on that one as well. It's, you know, it's about knowing who to look for. Don't bother getting, like you're saying about trolls, don't bother getting involved in silly arguments. You'll never win with them. Block and delete, because it's going nowhere with them. Look for people that will retweet you, that will engage with you. And engagement is a huge part of Twitter. To the more you engage with people, the more you're seen. It goes to a wider audience. Retweets are lovely, likes are lovely, but comments is the cherry on the cake. Because the more you talk, it's a ripple effect. It'll be seen by more people. And the more your tone of your talk, which is like the positivity, sharing the good stuff, sharing other people, be a support to other people. That's how I started with my business, is being a support to other people. And they'll flock to you. They'll come to you then. They'll want to talk to you. They'll want to engage with you. They'll want to grow with you. There's a lot of it now, like you were saying earlier on, people have been thrown online that were never online before. And they're all learning, like, how do I do this? And if you look now, like, a lot of your new followers are fairly smallish accounts because they're all new to Twitter. So they're all growing and they need that bit of support.
Well, I agree with you about noticing a lot of smaller accounts, but of course, every account started off that way. And I remember when, like, we first got over 10,000 followers on Twitter, like it was a real milestone, I suppose, in one way. But it also then opened up a whole other world to us again. But Helena, you just mentioned there, and you just dropped in the figure that We're All Business is now over 22,000 followers. And how long did it take you to build up that following, and how did you do it?
Well, that one's not on mine. I can't take credit for all of that one. That one would have been previously the Irish Biz Party, and it rebranded then to We're All Business. But it's been growing since I've been online. It's been growing 7-8 years. I am admin on that now since the new year, since January. So it's grown by about 1,000, maybe about 750 since I've taken it over. And literally, it is supporting other businesses out there. It's retweeting them. It's helping them set up. They have what they call a star biz every Wednesday evening. And at 9 o'clock, for 1 hour solid, that person gets the spotlight on them for an hour. And you use their hashtag and the We're All Business hashtag. And normally they trend every Wednesday evening. So it's a way of highlighting that business. And that's what we try to do. We try to give people the spotlight so they can grow a little bit as well. They can have an audience. They can have a presence.
Well, I'm now just going to ask you possibly what I feel might be on somebody's mind at this stage is commenting, retweeting, liking, supporting. They're all verbs, Helena. They're all action. And action equals time. Now, of course, I can sit at home here in the comfort of my own home and I don't have to put myself out there, whether it might be on stage or on camera or on TV or anything else like that, like Twitter. And like they all, when you're talking about posting, it can be a relatively safe place to be. All the same, it does take time and it does take effort. So what do you think about the amount of time and effort that goes in? Have you got a commensurate return from it? And of course, another question is, have your clients got a commensurate return out of what you've been putting in?
What I would suggest is you're not going to follow all the threads on any of the platforms. Start small, start engaging with a few people and it will grow. Give it a bit of time. Like if my timetable for it would be, I'd go in the morning and I'd go through all the accounts that I manage, and I would look to see who has inquiries, who has questions, who needs answering, who needs directing to the website, an email, whatever it may be. and then I will come out throughout the day. I will go in and out to the accounts. What I would say is take your time. I would rather somebody got to know me rather than got to know 10, 20 people in the space of 10 minutes, because they're not going to absorb what them 10, 20 people do. Where if they give one person that bit of time to know, they can build a relationship. It's all about building relationships and growing in trust with people online, rather than just following every single person going just because they said hello. It doesn't work like that, because you'd be amazed, and I'm sure you know yourself, the amazed amount of people that will have no picture, they'll have three people following, and they'll say hello, and then they're gone, and you don't see them. Mm-hmm. And you've given time to people that, you know, there's no value to them. So I would say take your time, have a look through their bios, have a look through any tweets that they have out there to see, are they worthwhile, to see, are they your people? Or your tribe is the new word, the new buzzword.
That's right. That's right. All right. I've been using that one now for a while, so I don't know if I'm on or off the bandwagon. But I do want to come back to your statement there when you said you're a big believer in community as opposed to competition. That seems to be a value that you hold strongly. Why is that?
Well, I think if you have them as competition, you'll never grow, because you're trying to just outbeat them, rather than trying to grow your own audience, because you're concentrating more on trying to beat them. Like, I would be involved in a group online, which is a beating group, and we would often regularly put into this group, does anybody have this particular charm? I'm out of it. I need two for an order. I've happily sent off beads and charms to other people that were short for whatever orders that they needed to finish before a certain date, because, you know, they might be waiting a week on a supplier. I believe we all grow in this way. I believe by supporting somebody, yes, they are competitors and do very similar work to what I do, but I know if I needed something, I can get in touch with one of them at 11 o'clock at night, and that will be in the post the next day for me. Mm-hmm. And it's happened, and I've done it for them. So it's a two-way street. It's not just a one-way street. To me, community helps community. It supports community. We don't go around stealing each other's customers. We don't go around promoting ourselves way up and above beyond somebody else. It's about us all growing. I have a very good friend, and he uses the mantra of all boats rise together.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've a very kind heart, and you can see that in all of your interactions that I see that you have with people online, Helena, for sure. And I think that certainly matters. It matters hugely in business today. And today, when we talk about today, of course, we're recording this podcast in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, and Ireland and many other countries are in lockdown or in various different stages of it. So many people have now created a new world for themselves through online. I mean, many interactions with people are now through Zoom. People are interacting, as I say, through social media and so on like that. So how do you find social media has changed in these times? Or maybe it hasn't. Maybe what we see online is the same as we've always seen. But just for somebody who spends as much time on Twitter and Facebook, etc., as you do you find that social media has been a great help for people during these times? Or would you have any other observations?
I would find for somebody that's new to social media, it can be very good. You just have to be careful not to get involved. It can also be a ground where people like to have arguments, get involved and rouse. I would avoid them completely. You can see a lot more opinionated people on all platforms. People like to give an opinion, whether it be right or whether it be wrong. They like to give an opinion. So I would say to people, you know, keep what you're doing. Look at what you're doing. Make sure your own personal profile is relevant and it's up to date to what you're doing, so that you're when somebody falls on your timeline, whichever platform it is, that it's not outdated. I don't believe in spending time getting involved with, you see all the big arguments and bad feeling and negativity. I don't get involved in any of that, really, as a rule. I would stay well away from it, just my own mental headspace, because you can go down wormholes. And if you go down wormholes, it's very hard to get back out of them again.
That's true. That is true. That is very, very true. Just as regards the one social media platform that I can see in the context of what's going on at the moment, that isn't gone down a wormhole in terms of an argument, but has really exploded for a different reason, is TikTok. And I see that it is It has grown in the, like, whereas I heard about TikTok long ago through Savvy Teen Academy. I have a great form of reverse mentoring where I hear what's up and coming from the 16-year-olds of the country. So I hear quite a lot about what's coming down the track. And TikTok was very much, it's, you know, all about dance and music and it's under 1 minute and all that sort of thing. Whereas now I find that TikTok is being embraced by frontline health workers. It's being embraced by people who are making parodies out of it. It's a range of other different things. So what is your take on, let's say, TikTok? What is your take on Instagram, which has probably overtaken the growth of Twitter? What is your take on what's new and what's coming?
I absolutely love TikTok. It's my guilty pleasure. I go to bed at night and I have the laugh watching all the dances. And I see all the mummies there doing all the different, you know, dances and activities. And I love the one, the Mamma Mia one, where they usually get their young children involved. Have you seen that one?
I haven't, no.
It's very good, and you know, it's just it's a great way for me. I find TikTok, it's more for a bit of fun than business. I do see the brands coming in, but I bypass them because it was never meant for that kind of activity. It was aimed at a younger generation. Obviously now more people have time on their hands and are doing all the dances and they're doing all the routines and everything on it, which is for fun. Once you know it's just for fun, it's not necessarily a business platform. Go and enjoy is what I would tell people. Instagram, I love. Instagram is a great way of connecting with, if you're looking to get in touch with influencers, it's a great way to do that. It's an absolutely brilliant way to do that. Again, as I said, I wouldn't bother with, I'm lucky, I don't really get any trolls or anything like that. And people just go, and if they enjoy them, they're more for enjoyment than, well, obviously Twitter or Instagram is a business one. I get a few sales and everything through there, so I'm quite happy with that one. But it's more of an enjoyment because it's so aesthetic, where it's pleasing to the eye. There's more, I won't say fun in it, but there's more pleasing in it than business, it seems like to me.
And if we could move from the social media back to the business for a moment, obviously you have busy beaters and busy tweeters. And I just want to ask you, what do you say to people who might be concerned about setting up their own business? I mean, obviously, the times right now, in many ways, are trying. They're very, very testing and trying. But on the other hand, there's more government support out there now for people to live like there hasn't been before. There's also a lot more business supports out there. There's always been the feasibility studies and the mentoring grants and a variety of others. Now we have the business continuity grant and there's other ones there. I do think it'll be interesting to see what comes from the European Union and how that filters down the line and so many others. So in one way, there's never been more support for setting up a business. On the other hand, it could possibly be a scarier time than ever. On another hand, again, if I was to talk with three hands, it's a time when more people are spending their time and their concentration online. So there probably is never a perfect time to be in business. But from you who's done it twice, what do you say to people who might be concerned about taking on the idea of setting up their own business?
Go for it. My biggest thing would be go. If you have an idea and you have a bit of a passion and you want to do something, go for it. But do your research before you start. So many people, you know, pick a name and they love a name. They don't research the name and then, you know, it can be associated with something completely different to your business. Do your research before you tie everything in to make sure there's nothing bad associated with that name. But go for it. As you said, there is so many support now. There's a continuity voucher, there's a trading online voucher, there's the mentors, there's all the, like, lots of different people giving away free demos of different things now to help people. And it is all about helping people. There's so many want to help people out there now at the moment. It is scary, and it's always going to be scary to set up a business, especially if you're leaving a job to do this. Some people did them as sidelines setting up a business. But if you're setting up completely from fresh, every time you do that, it's going to be scary. So it's never going to be easy to do it. So I would still say jump for it. Just do your research before you actually nail down your name and make sure you register your name straight away and your domain and everything else, that you have all of that in your social media locked down before you go anywhere.
And Helena, I would be wondering, where did you learn all of this? Like, when you start off making jewellery and then to take on the different social media platforms that you've done with, like, you talk about things there like pinning down your domain name, getting your name registered, all of those sorts of things, like all of those have to be learned. And certainly I'm nearly 10 years, well, not I, we are nearly 10 years in business now. We will be in September. And I remember learning all those things at the very beginning. And then as time going on and setting up the next business having to do it all again. But where did you learn all that you did? Because from my point of view, it was trial, error, asking people, getting things wrong, and there was no set place. But in your case, you have evolved your skill set iteratively over many, many different phases of the two businesses, etc. So where did you pick it all up?
A lot of it would have been asking people. I have a very good friend, the social network, Cindy Dempsey. Great help to me. She would help me, right? You need to do this and you need to get this sorted, you need to get that sorted. And, you know, it's being in the right networks, being with the right people, and that, you know, that you all want to support each other, that you all want to help each other. And you will see when you join the different networks that lots of people ask the same questions and the same answers come up all the time. And I think you just absorb that knowledge over the time. So by the time, like, what I know now to what I knew 7 years ago setting up, I didn't have a clue. Absolutely. From what I know now, I know I'm no expert by any means, but I consider myself an expert to where I was 7 years ago. But it's all experience, and it's all, you see the people asking the right questions. You might kind of like ask your own questions. Might not necessarily be the same one as somebody else, but they'll be along the same kind of lines. People are good. They're willing to share that information with you. Again, comes back to community. They want to help. They want to see each other grow, and they want to support each other. So it's, for me, that's what I found, that it's being in the right network, being surrounded by the right people, taking on what you learn at the very start. The lady that taught me how to do Facebook, like her page, my page, I think there's about 600 and something, or 6,000 and something pages, likes on my page, and her page is still at a couple of hundred, or maybe hitting the 1,000 or two now. But you learn, and you're constantly learning, and you're constantly growing.
I think that's a really important point that you've just picked up on there, Helena, is that sometimes you can outgrow the teacher, and that's okay. That is okay. Yeah. Because then you, and I know that sometimes the student can become the teacher as well, but it's important for people to know that, is that sometimes you can go to people, let's say that you're learning about Facebook, as you mentioned there, and how to get to X number of likes, is that it's always okay to graduate on to the next level when you surpass that. And that's completely fine.
Never be afraid to grow. Never be, and you know, never let anybody tell you can't, because we can. We can all do it. We can all do it. It's just a matter of taking a bit of time and a bit of practice with things when you don't know them. Like I'm only getting to grips with Canva now, so I'm still learning. You know, I've just learned how to put an image on a colour. I think I'm bloody brilliant. Nowhere near it, but I'm getting there. Like
Canva is brilliant. It's a superb. Yeah. So for anybody who may not be familiar with it, it's a graphic design tool. We have done a lot on Canva over the years. It's a great, great tool, and it has a great, very good business model as well, where you only pay for extra things that you need, and there's a huge amount that's in there. Helena, can I ask you, over, you mentioned there that you've been doing this over 7 years. Have you enjoyed it?
99% of the time, yes. Definitely, I have. Sometimes, you know, like when you're only learning, you get frustrated that you're not getting the results straight away, but you have to learn, you know, it comes back to your insights. Where are the people hanging out? Where are your customers hanging out? You know, learn who they are. Like I would give them a name. I'd have, there's Mary, she's 38 years of age. She's two or three children. She's somebody in Hurley, somebody in dancing. So you kind of get to know who that person is that you're selling to. Mm-hmm. And because I sell the angels, I get so many stories, because I've sold them for a lot of for miscarriages and different things. I get an awful lot of people's backstories as to why they want to buy the angels. And when you take that all on, you know, it makes a part of what I do, the part that I love the most, that you're getting to know people, that you're getting to, you know, build relationships with them, and they come back time and time again.
That's very true. That is very true. I mean, you know, another person would call that a retention strategy, but when, as you say, when you get to know people's backstory, particularly in such a heartbreaking experience, yeah, as what you've mentioned there. And how have you got past the 1% where you didn't enjoy it? How did you drive through that? Was it well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I mean, you know, the stories that, well, we won't get into the stories, but the very nature of the fact that you're dealing with people who are going through such a difficult time, or the community that you've built inspired by the values of Green Thursday, or doing something like helping people through We're All Business, etc. Has it been the value of what you've been doing has carried you through that 1% of the time, or has it been something else?
It has been that and a bit of empathy. A bit of empathy for what's going on, and to understand that people are struggling. You know, and that would have been like, you kind of like, the hard part is you can't actually physically go in and help somebody, but I can bring them a little bit of comfort in the jewelry part of it, like, you know. But having empathy for people's stories would be what got me through a lot of it.
And when you mention empathy, a big element of being a woman in business that we're often credited with is having more empathy than our male counterparts. Now, I don't know whether that's true all the time or not, but I do just want to ask you about being a woman in business. Have you felt being a woman has been an advantage, a disadvantage, or have you noticed any difference?
No, I haven't really noticed anything. I found my education was more of a hindrance than my sex, my gender, I should say, in business, because I left school at 14. So I found I had to learn an awful lot more than somebody that would have went on to school and finished, say, at 18, 19, that would have had leaving cert results, that kind of a way. But being a woman in business now, it hasn't held me back whatsoever.
That's great. That's great to hear. And, well, we know a lot now about what happened in the past 7 years, but as I bring this interview to a close, Helena, what's now on the agenda? What's the next dream that you want to pursue?
Would it be obviously to grow both businesses. I've started up another branch to Busy Beaters with the Angels. It's a new page called Frontline Angels, and it's about bringing, saying thank you to people in an affordable way, for be it the healthcare workers, be it somebody that you can't go visit, but you want them to know you're thinking of them. And that's what I've been selling them as this week for, and to grow that side of the business as well. I'll always look to grow. I'll always look to see what I can do next. I have no particular plan going forward. I would love to just grow both businesses and see where they go from there.
Brilliant. Well, I really do appreciate your time, and thank you for sharing your honesty and your insights, and also very practical direction as well with our Savvy Women Online audience. So Helena Gilhooly, thank you so much for being part of our community today.
Thank you for having me, Susan. More, there's got to be so much more to this life.